Our Lady of Good Counsel High School, Go Falcons, class of 1983. Roy Taff is a full-time instructional designer and part-time improviser. He's a father, a husband, a friend, and although he's very humble about this, I can tell you that every Halloween this man decorates his house. I've seen it so elaborately, and the whole yard. I mean, the work, he's got animatronic vampires and fog machines and, like, you remember Clark Griswold from the Christmas Vacation? This Clark Griswold would like walk away from this scene with his tail between his legs. Please welcome Roy Taff.
Yeah. Anybody here ever heard of Strawberry Spring? No? It's a meteorological term. It's when you have that weird rash of a few really warm days, like in March or April. You know, it hits like the 80s and 90s, and everybody loses their frigging mind for a few days there. Well, that happened to me my senior year last semester. And when that happens to you and you live in Montgomery County and you go to an all-boys Catholic school, you go to Georgetown. Now, why do you go to Georgetown? Well, as I said, all-boys Catholic school, girls, bars, and at that time, it was the only place in the Mid-Atlantic that had a drinking age of 18. And it was more of a guideline than a law. So pretty much if you had pubic hair, you could drink in Georgetown. That was pretty much the rule, the way it ran. So me and my friend Leo, we hit it out. Now, why did I go with Leo? Well, Leo is a guy. He goes to my school, and he had a much cooler car than me. It had a sunroof. Remember, it was warm. It had a rockin' stereo. And it had, amazingly for the time, the windows that went up and down, the electric ones, you know, that everybody has now, but back then it was like, oh my God! Oh my God! I mean, we almost broke these things. We played with them so much, and I'm talking about the windows now. All right, so we go to Georgetown. Yeah, I'll be here all week. Thank you very much. We go to Georgetown, and we get there, and I am nursing my Bartles and James, and that's pretty much all I could afford. And I'm trying to find girls, trying to make eye contact with anybody, you know, that kind of thing. And Leo is somehow beginning his college binge drinking process early for some reason. They had a Mexican buffet at the bar. He's having tequila, he's having rum, and he's having, God, I don't know why, sangria. Oh, you're all, yeah, wait for it. Hang on now. So when 2 a.m. rolls around and all the bars closed, Leo's first thing is, I'm driving. And I'm like, no, you're not driving. I'm driving. And I get in the car and I crank up the tunes. And in Georgetown, when all the bars empty out and all the teenagers from West Virginia and Virginia and Maryland and D.C. all decide to climb on the same little tiny road called M Street, we call that the M Street Shuffle. And what happens is you will get next to somebody, and for an hour and a half, you will sit next to the same person driving light to light as you go along. So I'm sitting there, and I'm cranking, I think it was After the Fires, De Camazar. Remember? Alles klar, De Camazar. Anyone remember that? Okay, anyway. So we're driving along, and I'm cranking it up, and suddenly what pulls up next to me but a crystal blue Corvette with the top down, with the two most beautiful... My wife's here. The second most beautiful women I've ever seen. One was blonde and had the wing thing and blue eyes, and that was mine. I had decided at that time. And the brunette had green eyes, and the blonde looks at me and says, "Hi." But because the stereo was so loud, all I heard was, keep in mind, she looked at me. She looked at this and said hi. And I think she did the pearl dent kind of, I don't know if she did. I don't know if she did. But I know that at that time, no matter when I told the story, it was going to end with us doing it. I mean, that's when you're 17. That's what you do. That's pretty much what you do. So she pulls up and I'm like, oh my God, oh my God. I'm like, oh my God, oh my God. Leo, just be so cool. Just be so cool. The hottest girls in the whole world are right next to us. And Leo's kind of doing this kind of thing. And he's starting to do this like baby seal impression, like, arp, 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 arp. I go, no, Leo, just be cool, just be cool. Just take a breath, breathe deep, Leo. Breathe deep and just sit up, man, just sit up. And he sits up and he looks at the girls And he looks at me. They are pretty. And then he looks back, and I felt it more than I saw it, really. It was like thunder in the distance, you know? This supercharged jet of vomit came flying out of his mouth. The only thing I could equate it with, if you ever saw the movie The Abyss, there's this liquid tube with a face on the end. It was like that, but brown. I mean, that was pretty much it. And in his short planning session, the pre-vomit planning session that Leo had, he had forgotten one very important thing, which was to roll down the window. So like the biggest bug hitting the biggest windshield, it went everywhere. Now, the blonde one, my girlfriend, she knew what was happening and she started like dry heaving at me. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. The brunette, Leo's girlfriend now, was like, what? What happened? I don't know, what was that? Leo suddenly gets that adrenaline rush, you know, after you throw up, you get that adrenaline rush, and he realizes he's just besmirched his entire car. So he rolls down the window and it sounded like this. And it stops about a third of the way down because it's dead. It's stopped. And Leo freaks out. So he starts like taking his hand and starts like flinging it around like some rabid squirrel monkey. He's like, oh my God. And it hits my baseball jacket and it gets the girl's hair and it hits the car. And now the brunette started the dry heave thing and the blonde is now gone from dry to wet. And people are stopping on M Street just to see the show at this point. They're all just like, what's happening? What is that? What's going on? But Leo's not done. He's got stage two coming, right? And Leo doesn't want to, you know, destroy his car again. So he covers his face. But if you notice, there's lots of gaps in Leo's vomit shield. So he went from a geyser to more of a sprinkler spread. It hit me, it hit the dash, it hit the car, it hit the girls again. A friend of mine who saw it on the street said he thought that Leo's head had exploded, because that's all I saw. He just, whoa. Now, if this was a movie, I would just freeze it, because if you zoomed in on me, I was suddenly realizing that my chance of having a relationship with these women was going away. And I realized that my only chance of saving this was to get the hell out of there, right? So I'm staying there with the wheel in my hand, I'm looking up and going, please turn green, please turn green, please turn green. And then it turned green. And I jammed down the accelerator and we screeched away. I cut like three lanes of traffic and we went into Georgetown. And we were like vomit terrorists, like fleeing a site of a bombing. We're like the puke Al-Qaeda, like out of there. And we made this amazing time. I still know how I did it. Like 40 minutes later, I pull up in front of Leo's house. And Leo has passed out and he's become in his members only jacket, hermetically sealed to the chair. And I realized the kindest thing is just to leave him there, really. And I decided it was a nice night to walk the 6 miles to my house. I was walking along and I'm suddenly realizing I can see my breath and the Leo that's on my jacket is hardening. And I realized that the strawberry spring is over, but that the last summer of high school has just begun.
A complete and total barfarama.